Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Everyone, and welcome back in to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, of course, on this Wednesday, joined by my buddy George Kurtz out in Long Island. The magic of 21st century technology. I'm sitting here in St. Louis. George is out there in New York. Brett is out there in New York as well, but on a different part of the island. And we're all here chatting with you guys about the NBA, about the NFL, about baseball, and we're going to take a look at some hockey as well. Lots of stuff coming down the pipeline for us on Wednesday. The Astros and the Red Sox are going to play tonight in Game 5 of the ALCS. The Dodgers are looking to figure things out, carry the momentum in Game 4 of the NLCS. The second night of the NBA is here, George. 11 games tonight. Very overwhelming, all of those games. We have two games tonight in the NHL. Boston at Philadelphia. My local but not favorite team, the St. Louis Blues, plays at the Vegas Golden Knights. And Browns' Nick Chubb has been ruled out for Thursday Night Football, as has Kareem Hunt, as has Baker Mayfield. We're still waiting to hear on Odell Beckham. And we're also waiting to hear on Jarvis Landry, who has been designated to return from the IR, but has not actually been activated. And George, something else we even missed, but Coastal Carolina 6-0 playing up against Appalachian State in college football night. I got to be 100% honest with you. I'll probably throw that game on. I will probably click over to the Coastal Carolina game tonight. I mean, what is your TV going to be on tonight, George?
Unfortunately, my TV won't be on any of these games. I'll be at the hockey rink. When I get home, it'll be on St. Louis, Vegas, Golden Knights. I assume the baseball games will be over. Then again, that's a big assumption nowadays. These games all go 4-plus hours, it seems like. So maybe they will be on, as I should be home 11:30. So if I was home tonight, I'd be baseball and hockey. No doubt it'd be that for me. The NHL, they're smart about it. I wonder if the NHL and NBA actually get together. You know, NHL always has big slates on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays. NBA seems to go the opposite of that. Well, Wednesday's their big slate there. So maybe it's, let's not compete against each other if we don't have to, although we all know the NBA would crush the NHL on ratings anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But that's what I would be watching tonight. Definitely baseball playoffs and a little smattering of hockey.
All right, well, let's look at these two games here tonight. We have the Boston Bruins playing at the Philadelphia Flyers, the St. Louis Blues playing at the Vegas Golden Knights. What are actually the fantasy storylines with the Blues, my hometown Blues? What are their lines looking like? Do we have any surprise performers for them so far? I know they've had a nice start to the year so far. What's going on with the Blues?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise with the Blues is not so much what's an in season, but the off season storyline that Tarasenko is still on the team. Tarasenko at one point, a very good goal scorer. I'm not going to call him an elite, but he's a very good goal scorer, but he's had several shoulder surgeries. And that's not the problem. The problem is he believes the team has sort of screwed him with the shoulders, that maybe the medical staff hasn't been all that great with him. We all thought he'd be traded during the offseason. The problem is he does come with a heavy price tag offhand. I think it's $8.5 million. And the Blues are one of those teams, Davis, where they wanted their cake and eat it too. They not only wanted top prospects or top draft picks for him, but they wanted you to eat the salary. And teams are like, no, we're not going to do that for somebody that we don't know if he can be that player anymore. So that's really the biggest storyline on St. Louis by far for me. When does Tarasenko get moved? Does he have to prove that he's that goal scorer again that he was a couple of years ago? Because like I said, if he is, and he's a sniper, and my hometown team, the team I do root for, the Islanders, they were interested in him at one time. I don't think so anymore. Once again, the cap problems would be too immense for them to go after him. But Tarasenko would have value. That, by far, is the number one storyline for me coming out of St. Louis.
That's funny you mention it. I was about to toss it to you and ask you about Tarasenko. But I literally had thought he already got traded, or that he would, that the team was still actively trying to trade him. I thought there was a chance that he maybe was not even playing for the team, because I expected him to be traded so much. So things not going as good for my Colorado Avalanche right now, you know, not because they're bad or because or anything like that, but they're just not healthy right now. They don't have Landeskog, and they don't have MacKinnon playing. I don't remember who is suspended and which one is on the COVID list, but I know one of them is suspended, one of them is on the COVID list, and they're basically just trying to survive until those guys get back, because they are, you know, they're such a top heavy team.
They're both back. All right. MacKinnon came back last night. He finally got his negative test. MacKinnon, I think, was going up the wall, you know, trying to get this negative test going. He kept getting tested, positive, positive, positive. Finally passed last night. He played. Landeskog did the – there's been a lot of angry players in the NHL in the early part this season. I think we've had 3-4 suspensions already. Landeskog was one of them. He is back from that suspension. Just a stupid play. Stupid play where he boarded the guy. I forget who, Max Comtois, I think it was. Dumb play. The guy's down on his knee. The puck is gone. What are you doing? No point to this. It was game one. How angry could you be at the guy? So he got suspended, but now he's back as well. Colorado will get back up to speed here. They'll be fine. They're likely the best team in the Western Conference. Not worried about the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that you are not worried.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I will admit, you know, I am not the best Colorado Avalanche fan. I'm definitely barely paying attention to the team at this point. You know, I follow the beat writers for the team, and I get the email update from them. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Some NBA DFS chatter when we get back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back in to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, giving George Hirsch a little bit of a rest as I bring in Brett again to talk about the NBA. Not about last night, but about tonight. We have an 11-game NBA DFS slate on the menu for us tonight, Brett. And I will say the NBA season, it kind of snuck up on me. I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta go enter some lineups. I gotta go make some teams on FanDuel, and I, you know, had Bruce Brown last night with the he made a 3-pointer in the end, so we got 3 points for us, but did not a lot. But we have a huge slate tonight. We have 11 games on FanDuel, huge contest for everyone to enter, and a reminder for everyone: if you're trying to get into the NBA, Daily Roto now has free tools for everyone who is wanting to play. So if you want to look at some projections, work with the optimizer, you're going to be able to do that for free now on dailyroto.com. But let's get into this 11-game slate. Who are some of the plays, Brett?
Yeah, Davis. So yesterday I gave out a lineup that cashed a little bit of money. We, if you were in a dollar contest, you made $2.50, or if you were in a $2 contest, you made $5. So we did okay yesterday, Davis, but we're trying to do a little bit better in the 11-game slate. And I've got some guards. Yesterday I went very light on the guards. Today I'm going to attack the guards a little more because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's back. He's a player I know you like, Davis, because he's on your favorite team, but he's a player I personally love. He was in a player on a playoff team his first 2 years in the league. I don't think very many people expected that Chris Paul Oklahoma City team to make the playoffs. He played well above what we expected from him. Hurt most of last season, so I expect a big bounce back from Shai. Lonzo Ball, new team, Chicago Bulls. They restocked this offseason, adding DeMar DeRozan. They added Vucevic in the offseason, last season as well. So I think the Bulls are fully loaded, ready to go. They play Detroit tonight. Detroit's going to be without Cade Cunningham as well, so kind of he'll have a smaller player on him, not a similar sized guy. DeJounte Murray and Spencer Dinwiddie finish out my guard spots. DeJounte's a player I love, Davis, in DFS. I don't think he's ever priced high enough. He's a double-double guy. Every single night, plays big minutes for the San Antonio Spurs, runs the offense, has the ball in his hands. Sometimes Derek White gets the ball in his hands, but DeJounte is the primary ball handler, primary decision maker for that team. And Dinwiddie is a guy who was signed to a big deal in the offseason, coming off an ACL injury from last year. But I like Spencer Dinwiddie because in the NBA, you follow the paychecks, and he got a big one.
He did. He got a massive one. I think surprising a lot of people how much money Spencer Dinwiddie made. And, interestingly enough, not really a huge price tag for him tonight on FanDuel. He is priced at $6,500 against Toronto. We think of Toronto as this really good defensive team, right? They have OG Anunoby, who is, just this elite on-ball defender, but they're dealing with some injuries right now, right? Chris Boucher is a little bit banged up. They're going to be playing Goran Dragic some minutes in their rotation. So I think that probably Dinwiddie is going to be one of the most popular plays tonight on FanDuel. And I definitely think that he should be. Some of the guard options that I would like for tournaments, definitely I would be interested in the opposite of him, Fred VanVleet for the Toronto Raptors. I think that we are used to thinking of, the Raptors being DeMar DeRozan's team and Kyle Lowry's team and stuff, but Fred VanVleet is the man there now, and they're kind of most nights going to go as VanVleet goes. We need to take a look now at the front court spots on for DFS tonight on FanDuel. We have, the small forward position on FanDuel is always so absolutely brutal. However, our friends, Brett, at FanDuel, they have given us a gift. After all these years, FanDuel has finally implemented multi-position eligibility, which is really going to save the small forward position, because in years past, guys like Jason Tatum, guys like Jaylen Brown, DeMar DeRozan, Gordon Hayward, some of these guys, they would have only been eligible at other positions. But finally, we have some guys who we actually want to play at the small forward position, Brett.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jason Tatum. I love Jason Tatum. I think he is going to ascend into the top five this year, Davis. He's my guy to watch. Ime Udoka came over from Brooklyn. He's part of the Spurs system. He's obviously played in the league. He's a guy that understands what superstars can do for a team. He's seen it with Tim Duncan firsthand. He's played with Steve Nash. He's played or coached Kevin Durant and James Harden. Like, this guy understands what a superstar can do for your franchise. So Jason Tatum's going to get the rock a lot. And Jaylen Brown's actually starting off the year a little banged up. Marcus Smart's in that starting rotation now. So more shots coming for Jason Tatum. Tobias Harris, another player I'm super high on this year with everything going on in Philly. Tobias Harris is going to get the second most shots on that team as well. And I think he'll actually get some secondary ball handling duties. I expect Tyrese Maxey and Steph, to be the primary ball handlers there. But Tobias, sometimes if you need a secondary player to bring it up, or if you're trying to get a ball or a shot for Seth off the ball, Tobias is probably going to be handling it. Kelly Olynyk and Jaden McDaniels, some lower price guys, but you need to price down some guys to get some high price guys. So Olynyk will have a good role in Detroit. Also got a lot of money this offseason, played pretty well in Houston last year. McDaniels, a guy who I'm just expecting to get some minutes out of in Minnesota. He'll be on the court. That's all I really need there. And Montrezl Harrell, He's going to have some DMPs this year, Davis, which is scary. So I'm taking a risk there. But I think him and Gafford will play tonight, both of them, because, you know, like you said about the Raptors, they do have a lot of bigs. And also, I just think differently from a gambling perspective, because I'm all over the Raptors from a gambling perspective. Their first game in Toronto in almost two seasons. I mean, that place is going to be going nuts. But other than that, I think the Wizards are a pretty good team. I think they'll be fighting for a playoff seed. I don't know if Toronto, outside of tonight, will be a team I'm backing all season. They were disappointing last year. I do expect a bounce back coming back to Toronto, but, you know, injuries, new rotation, Lowry's not there. They don't have Kawhi. They don't have DeMar. Like, who's going to be the leading scorer for this team? Siakam regressed last year. Anobi was often injured, so you're hoping for better health. I mean, Fred VanVleet is not a number one scorer in this league to carry a playoff team.
That's true. All right, so I want to run through some of the guys that our projections over at Daily Roto really like, and I want you to tell me if they get the Brett Levy thumbs up or thumbs down of approval or disapproval. So first guy, $6,100. He is small forward and point guard eligible. Kevin Porter Jr. from the Houston Rockets. Does he get the Brett Levy seal of approval tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Kevin Porter is an interesting play because he is immensely talented. There are guards I like better on the slate tonight. So I think with 11 games, I wouldn't necessarily attack him. But Kevin Porter is going to be a great play all year. And just a heads up, Davis, we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, I really like Kevin Porter, so that is why I wanted to run through and bring his name up. I think that the Wolves are going to give it up to everybody all year long, and Kevin Porter Jr. is one of my favorite high-usage guys in the NBA, so he will definitely be a staple of my lineups.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tonight on FanDuel. A reminder to everyone, use those tools on dailyroto.com. It's free. We're not asking for anything. I think maybe you have to give us your email, and you'll be able to have access to some of these amazing tools. When we return, George will be back with us, and we're going to be talking some Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, rejoined by George Kurtz. But before we get into some analysis of the two-game MLB DFS slate that is kicking off tonight on FanDuel, need to remind everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter if you want to stay up to date with all the big line moves, injuries for fantasy sports. All of my content will get pushed out through there, and highlights from all of the shows on the network. We know that you guys don't want to miss any of it, so make sure that you stay on the grid by following at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV on Twitter. You can also follow SportsGrid on Instagram to get some highlights and social media clips from us there as well. All right, George, we have some key games tonight taking place in Major League Baseball, where we have a nice little two-game slate for us here. So we are moving away. Well, there are, of course, you know, the single game slates tonight for both of these games, but we are going to take a look at the two game slate. The Astros, of course, playing game 5 in Boston, the Braves and the Dodgers playing game 4 in LA. Our starting pitcher tonight, left-hander Julio Urias taking the mound for the Dodgers. Chris Sale coming off of basically one of the worst starts he's had in a long time, only going 2.2 innings with two strikeouts, a walk, and not a great performance for him against the Houston Astros. Framber Valdez, another lefty, three straight lefties starting for us tonight. Valdez going up against the Red Sox, and then Waskar Ynoa starting for the Braves. Don't expect Ynoa to get too deep in this game. I believe he was used as an opener against Milwaukee. So these four starting pitchers, just kind of what are your expectations for these four guys tonight?
We can play the game of which one goes the deepest into the deepest of the contest. Does any go five innings? Really, does any of them go five innings? You would think Urias would be the best guy here, but let's not forget Dave Roberts just 2 days ago sort of hedged on Urias starting this game, which makes me think that maybe putting him in relief is going to keep him from going more than four or five innings. We saw that with Scherzer, right? Scherzer pitched that game. He saved the game five against San Fran. Do what you got to do. I totally understand that. But then he couldn't get out of the fifth inning in this series here. So I worry about Urias going deep into the game as well here. Sales has been terrible. His velocity is way down. I'm not touching him. Valdez, I know they didn't beat up the Houston pitching staff yesterday. They had chances to do so, right? They left base runners on base seemingly all game, especially early on against Greinke here. I think they'll get to Valdez today. And who knows what you're going to get out of Ynoa. All right, you know, he was good when he first came up this season, then decides to punch a wall. Good thinking there, buddy. Good thinking with your pitching hand. Awesome. You know, you and Devin Williams should have to start your own little club here. So I don't know if I trust any of these guys. If you're forcing me to, I'm going to Urias, but that's a lot of money to spend on somebody that I don't think can go very far in the game. I don't think it's going more than four or five innings, David. So if I'm playing here, I'm probably going with the cheaper option. I can't say, you know, give me Valdez and I'll pray.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually with you because Urias going to be mega, mega, mega popular, right? No one is going to want to touch Chris Sale, and I don't think they should. You know, taking a guy who has relied on strikeouts and velocity, who doesn't have any velocity, you know, seems like it's going to be a bad time because Chris Sale's off-speed stuff, even when Chris Sale was an amazing starting pitcher, his off-speed stuff, he really was not throwing them for strikes all that often. So I'm with you there. Framber is probably going to be the second most owned starting pitcher, but I would expect him to maybe be, you know, half the ownership of Julio Urias. And Ynoa is probably going to be the lowest owned starting pitcher that goes tonight. But I mean, come on. Ynoa against the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers probably win this game. And I think they're able to get away with some runs. So taking a look at the first base slash catcher position, of course, Freddie Freeman is going to be very popular, though he does have the lefty-on-lefty matchup against Urias. Will Smith is going to have that good matchup against Ynoa. Yuli Gurriel going to have that platoon advantage against Chris Sale. Bellinger, we're finally seeing some signs of life from our guy, Cody Bellinger, priced there at 2,400. Vasquez catching for Boston. And then, you know, take your pick of Travis d'Arnaud, Jason Castro, Bobby Dalbec. I actually don't hate using Bobby Dalbec here as your salary saver because I've always kind of believed in his skill set, still think he has some power. You know, he can hit a home run against Framber. Where are you at on the first base slash catcher?
You know, when we put this list up, the first thing I did was look at the lineup for tonight because of what you just mentioned. I wanted Bobby Dalbec to save some money here. He is not in the lineup. All right, so that pretty much eliminates him. As far as I'm concerned here, Arroyo's playing second base there. Vasquez is catching. Everybody else is the normal lineup for the Boston Red Sox. So not going Dalbec. I'm going to go Gurriel. I went Gurriel yesterday. He's got a I don't know the exact number, but a pretty good hitting streak going at Fenway Park here, and he's gotten hits in every game. Sometimes not driving any runs. I need to have a little more power there. But the thinking here is I need to save money somewhere. So I'm going to take the guy that I expect to get at least one or two hits tonight. Hopefully he drives in some runs with some of them. Give me Gurriel.
Yeah, I love the Gurriel, I think, is just an underrated hitter in general. I'm really heavy on the Dodgers tonight in my contest, so I'll probably I really like using Cody Bellinger. All right, let's take a look at second base. Some elite second base options. We have Altuve for Houston, Enrique Hernandez for Boston. Funnily enough, used to be a member of the Dodgers. Enrique Hernandez, he has been so hot, George. He's basically been the Red Sox best player. You know, him and JD Martinez just absolutely tearing the cover off the ball in the postseason. Aubie Albez, Ozzie Albies, always a good fantasy option. Chris Taylor hits eighth for the Dodgers, but Chris Taylor put on an unreal fantasy season. Trey Turner, of course, you know, we know that he is great. Christian Arroyo is there as well. And Gavin Lux, always one of my favorites, especially when he has the platoon advantage. And they even batted him sixth last night, a real vote of confidence in Mr. Lux.
Yeah, no, I went Lux yesterday. You know, that's the guy I wanted for the reasons you just mentioned, Nick, and because he was batting sixth yesterday. We knew that at Showtime. We don't have the Atlanta Braves Dodgers lineup yet. Maybe in about 2-3 hours you'll get it there. I might go back to the well with Lux. Trey Turner, the problem is he's not hitting with men on base right now. I believe he's 1-for-15 offhand, or at least at one point during last night's game, he was 1-for-15. You want to go with Kiki? I can't blame you. He's now the Babe Ruth of this playoffs, right? He's been fantastic. I mean, utterly fantastic. The man is feeling it, right? Baseball looks like a softball up there, a beach ball up there to him. So I don't blame you there at all. If you want to go Enrique Hernandez, good for you. I'm probably going to go with cheaper option here in Lux again, assuming he's not batting eighth.
Yeah. Also, just I'm looking through these lineups right now, and so funny to me that the Houston Astros have someone in their lineup in the outfield who I literally – have never heard of before, so we'll get there in at outfield. Third base, really not a ton of options here. You got Devers for Boston, Austin Riley for the Braves, Alex Bregman for the Astros, and Justin Turner for the Dodgers. Those are your choices. I am definitely going to be a Bregman guy. I've been a Bregman guy these whole playoffs. I think Craig's probably sick of me talking about Alex Bregman, but I just believe that Bregman is the best hitter of these four guys. Yeah, even better than Devers. He did not have a very good season. He's been banged up, and the Astros as a whole, some of them have gotten cold. They've been a pretty streaky team in terms of individual performances, but I really like Bregman here.
Well, before last night, the top three in the Astros order were all cold, ice cold. And Altuve, Brantley, and Bregman, they all sort of broke out of it last night. We'll see if that continues tonight. I'm with you on Bregman because of the price. All right, he's a great player. I don't care what you think about him as far as the cheating scandal. They all cheat. So give me Bregman here. You can't go Turner. He's also in a major stuff. I think it's 3-for-30 or along those lines here. So I'm not going Justin Turner here. I would go Devers, and I would pay up for him if it wasn't the lefty on lefty. Give me Bregman.
Yeah, there we go. We're in agreement. All right, shortstop, some of my favorite players in the playoffs remaining, Corey Seager and Gavin Lux. Gonna have to find a way to play them both. Those Dodgers lefties, they've just been automatic for me in fantasy pretty much the entire year. We have Xander Bogaerts. We have Carlos Correa, who is also swinging a stupidly hot bat. Dansby Swanson for the Atlanta Braves. I mean, Lux and Seager are definitely going to be my guys here, George.
Yeah, this is why we save money earlier on, right? So you can go with one of these guys. And I'm good with any of these guys. You want to go with Seager? You want to go with Correa? You want to go with Bogaerts? I'm good with any of them. It really comes down to gut feel, which guy's going to get that big hit for you here. So like I said, I'm probably leaning towards Seager as well. Future Yankee, by the way.
Oh, don't say those words, buddy. We can't. I don't want to hear them. You might want to hear them, but I definitely don't want to hear them. And then real quick here, we got our outfield. We have Mookie Betts, Kyle Turner, JD Martinez, Yordan Alvarez, going to be my favorite play, Chris Taylor, and then a way price down, Kyle Schwarber. I think Schwarber is a phenomenal play here today. And then the guy I had no idea who he was, Jose Siri, is starting, because I have no idea why he's starting, but a guy I've never heard of batting eighth for the Houston Astros tonight. That's always a good time.
Yeah, we heard about him a couple of days ago. I hadn't heard of him up until a couple of days ago. All right, I had no idea who he was. Jake Myers out of the lineup. Myers was in yesterday, then pulled out, so he's not over. I think it's a shoulder injury offhand here, so he's not recovered from it. That's why Jose Siri is playing. And yes, I'm surprised that Astros have somebody on their roster I never heard of before this series. Weird, but it is what it is there. And I'm good with any of those guys. JD Martinez is the guy I'd like to get in there. And I said Schwarber, if you have him in the – you have a lefty on lefty. He can still run into one. He's feeling it too. Hit the ball the other way over that monster. I have no problem if you need to save and go with Schwarber. It feels weird to say that. I need to save money by going with Schwarber. I'll take that.
Yeah. Love Kyle Schwarber. Have always loved Kyle Schwarber. I was kind of making fun of the Red Sox when they made that addition, not because I don't love Kyle Schwarber, but I felt they needed to do more. Looks like I am. Looks like I'm the person who's wrong in the end. So there is some good strategy to attack the two games late on FanDuel tonight in MLB.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
FS, they also have the single game slates there as well. So definitely make sure to check those out over on FanDuel. We're going to run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we'll have everyone's favorite game, Fantasy or Reality, with Brett Levy.
Look, you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are about to get into Fantasy Reality. We got a big day of sports ahead of us. You know, if you have missed any of the show, if you're getting ready for the Bi-NATO, you need to know about the waiver wire. You can head back on that. Brett Levy and I covered everything that you need to know for NBA DFS on FanDuel tonight. George and I just covered everything going on baseball. Unfortunately, George not going to be able to make it. He'll be out on the ice arena. So go ahead and pray for him and his sprained finger as he handles things out there on the ice with the puck tonight. And now we will bring in Brett for Fantasy or Reality.
All right, Davis and George, we got some good ones today. And George, we'll start with you for our first one because the St. Louis Blues are undefeated, but Buchnevich is out tonight. So we got to ask, the St. Louis Blues will go 3-0-0 tonight at Vegas. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Buchnevich, one of my favorite names to say in the NHL. Buchnevich headbutted somebody the other night. I mean, like I said, a lot of angry players in the NHL in the early going here. The Blues are going to go 3-0-0 tonight. No. If they were at home, I'd probably go with the Blues. Yeah, they're on the road against Vegas. Yeah, Vegas had some rest. My only issue is this. I probably should really pick the Blues here. Vegas will be without Mark Stone, without Pacioretty. Pacioretty's out a while, probably until around holiday time, maybe even past that. Stone, one thing about the NHL guys is they're very hush-hush about injuries. With gambling being more of the mainstream, that the injuries would be more updated like they are in the NFL, where they're out there, you know what's going on. The NHL, it's all state secrets, man, all state secrets. You're lucky to find out, you know, upper body or lower body, more to the exact nature of the injury here. So I'm going to go with Vegas here, although really, if I really had a brain here, it probably should be the Blues. So give me fantasy. Blues do not go 3-0-0.
Well, I will. I'll take the other side just because I love a good story. I'll take the reality here. But George, you hit at basically one of my biggest picadillos in sports right now, which is the mysterious injury updating. And the sports where you get it, it's so annoying. So in hockey, they don't ever want to give you the real injury updates. You know, they say upper body, lower body. They say, you know, 1 week away, 2 weeks away. They never give you an exact timeline. They also do this in college football and in college basketball. If you play college football daily fantasy or any kind of college football fantasy, you will absolutely run yourself ragged trying to get injury updates on these guys. I mean, look, I've had to register for forums for some of these teams. You know, I'm in the Marshall, you know, alumni forum where like people who went to Marshall University talk about their college football team to try to get, you know, an injury update on their running back. And look, sports betting is legal, right? We're presented by FanDuel. We're presented by DraftKings. We're presented by all these things. It's legal. We have teams with the DraftKings patch on them. We have FanDuel sponsoring the Orlando Magic. Every sport needs to have good and consistent injury reporting. There should not be, you know, we're 8 hours away from this game. We don't need to be questioning if someone's playing or they're not playing. There are millions of dollars being wagered. We need to know who is in. We need to know who is out, and we need to know why they're out. It's very important, and I think this is going to be a huge thing that we see changing in sports over the next couple of years, is that the gambling markets are just going to require up to the minute injury reporting, I think.
All right. Our next question, we're going kind of to the NBA, but George, he was also on the NHL pregame show last week. Charles Barkley made some noise last night in the return to Inside the NBA, gave a passionate speech about Kyrie Irving. Also, doesn't know any of the teams that some NBA players play on. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Charles Barkley is the best halftime slash pregame show personality in sports. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So I want to say reality because I agree with Charles Barkley a lot of the time. You know, a lot of the things he says, I'm with. He's very funny, right? He's got lots of great stories from his time playing in the NBA. He's got lots of great stories about Michael Jordan and being out on the golf course, and he likes to gamble and smoke cigars. But the thing I absolutely hate about Charles Barkley is that he has fallen victim to this thing that lots of athletes of his age have fallen victim to, where he doesn't like the product that he is supposed to be commentating on. He does not like basketball now. I mean, of course he loves basketball, but he doesn't love the team shooting three-pointers. He doesn't, you know, he is always one of the first guys to criticize James Harden and the way that James Harden plays, you know, with the step back threes and everything. He was one of those teams that when the Warriors were the best team ever, he was the one trying to say they couldn't do it. You know, he would say, you got to be able to get to the rim. He would say, you never win an NBA championship with jump shots. And so, and this annoys me about football as well, is you'll have these, you know, these old football commentators come on TV and they'd be like, oh, you got to run the ball. You can't go for it on fourth down. You know, you got to punt here. You got to take the points here. I think that Romo is one of the best at this because he gets the modern game. You know, I also think Greg Olsen, he's been on the broadcast now. You know, he retired he's on the broadcast now. I think Greg Olsen is really good. I'd probably have to think a little bit deeper about who the absolute best, you know, former athlete on halftime and pregame shows is, but he's pretty close to being the best. So I'll say fantasy, but it's mostly to do with his opinions on the game, not his opinions on like larger issues in society.
Yeah. Now listen, Barkley was fantastic on the NHL show last week. And I've liked Barkley. I may not be an NBA guy, but of course I know who Charles Barkley is. And I've heard and read some of his comments. What I like most about Barkley is that he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. You know, I don't really care if you're right or wrong, or if I agree with your opinion or I disagree with it. As long as you're saying what you believe, I like it. Now, there's so many guys or girls who are saying things where they're trying to protect their image, or they're trying to protect their job because maybe they want to go to another job, so they want to upset anybody. I know everybody hates Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. I kind of respect Chris because he's saying what's on his mind. He may be wrong, but he's saying what's on his mind, so I have no problem with that. Yeah, I may think he's an idiot with some of the things he says, but at least he's not sugarcoating it or trying to protect things. You know, so I hated John Gruden before all this happened with John Gruden because everybody was great. Oh, that player's great. Everyone's great. John, they're not all great. Some of them are terrible. You know, you could say that, but he didn't. It was always obvious that he wanted to get back into the NFL. So I dislike that. Do I think Barkley's the best? Probably not. So I'll go fantasy as well here. But I respect what he says, and I think it's interesting. He's certainly not boring, right? He's somebody I would watch, but to say he's the best, no. And I understand what Davis is saying. So many old school announcers, old school coaches do things that they haven't come along with the game. I'm a Cowboy fan. I don't know if the Cowboys beat the Patriots or if Bill Belichick lost that game. I think he lost that game because he was too old school here. How many fourth and threes from your 45 plus on can you punt? You can't keep doing that. And as soon as he punt, I think they were saying on NFL Live, you should do the opposite of what the opposing fan base wants you to do. Watching that game, I'm praying punt the ball. You punt the ball back to Dak, we're going to win the game. We're going to win the game. All right, and you know, don't go for it because I think you'll probably get it. Don't go. He punts, game's over. And he did that 3, 4, 5 times in the game. That's not an exaggeration. He did it 3, 4, 3 or 4 or 5 times. So you have to catch up with the game nowadays. But I like Barkley a lot, Brett, but fantasy for me.
All right, I'll disagree with you guys. I'll say reality, especially because one of the guys Davis named calls games and isn't on the pregame or halftime show. That's Tony Romo.
Fair.
So our last question of the day, George, we know you're a huge music guy, so we had to ask a music question. I'm hoping I finally get a reality here, but we'll see. 28 years ago yesterday, Pearl Jam's Versus album was released. Pearl Jam, obviously a great U.S. band. People know them. People listen to them. George, you owned Pearl Jam's Versus album. Is this a fantasy or reality?
First of all, it's really been 28 years. Really? Really? I remember this album came out, and I do like Pearl Jam. I wouldn't put them in my top 10. Personally, I like more classic rock, The Who, Stones, Floyd, Zeppelin, Genesis, Queen, could go on and on there. And yes, I like Weird Al too. What can I tell you? This is a reality. And by the way, you said owned. Well, actually, the guy still don't have it there, Brett. I got about 500 CDs in the other room here. I keep all my CDs. I don't listen to CDs anymore. Of course, I have all the music on my phone here, so I can just pop it up whenever I want. But I own. I believe I still have the album. I have several Pearl Jam albums here, so I'd be surprised if that's not one of them. So this is a reality to me. Yes, I own Pearl Jam's album.
Yeah, I'm glad that Brett finally got a reality there from George. I have not owned Pearl Jam's Versus album. I did not own Pearl Jam's Versus album. I believe that this album came out before I was born. This did come out while I was alive. This came out October 19th, 1993. So we're coming up on a good anniversary for this one, or I guess it would have happened yesterday. I was alive. I was just a shade over 1 year old when this album came out. I will say, of this era of music, you know, the heavy guitar, that grungy, you know, I don't know if Pearl Jam technically qualifies as grunge music, but I'm a Nirvana guy, so I own all of the Nirvana albums. You know, I have them on vinyl and everything. I mean, I guess, George, if I understand the time period correctly, it was kind of like an either or thing. Like, oh, I was a Pearl Jam guy, I was a Nirvana guy. Is that accurate? Do I have that correct?
You might have it correct. I actually like both. I have Nirvana's albums as well. I enjoy both types of music here. I'm all over the place with that sort of thing here. I've never heard it where it's either one or the other. So I don't know offhand, but I'm certainly not the music aficionado here who's telling you, oh, yeah, you're either a Pearl Jam guy or a Nirvana guy. I enjoyed both.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's fine to enjoy both. I guess just for whatever reason, you know, the cultural zeitgeist of Pearl Jam missed me. I mean, I think they were considered to be like a really important band when they, you know, were making music. You know, they did like am I right that there was like a lot of like social commentary in their music? Like they did a song about school shootings, right, in the 90s?
I believe they did. Yeah, they were that type of band, more current events, I would say, type of band here, which generally I could take or leave it here. I just want the music to be good, you know, and I'll listen to it no matter what it is.
Yeah, well, you know, which is of course fair. You know, no complaints about that. But yeah, just for whatever reason, Pearl Jam ended up missing me. You know, so maybe after the show gets done, I will take a listen to the Pearl Jam Versus. But everyone, we are going to wrap up the second hour here of the show. We got one segment left where, of course, we will.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Return with the Sports Grid 60. If you are just now tuning in, and you want more from me, you want more from George, the entire show is available on demand. We covered NBA DFS, MLB DFS, and all of the waiver wire stuff you need for week 7. Going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys back in a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. This is our final segment here where George and I get to talk about whatever we want to talk about for at least 1 minute. So let's go ahead and hop into the Sports Grid 60.
All right. Now, sometimes I wonder what I'm going to talk about in this segment. Not today. I knew last night what I was going to complain about here. Baseball. It's time. All right. The home plate umpire needs to go. At least he needs to stop calling balls and strikes. That was really embarrassing last night. Last day as the home plate umpire in the Boston-Houston game missed 23 pitches. 23. All right. At least it was even. I think it was 12 for Boston, 11 for Houston. So, yeah, he was terrible for both sides here. But that can't happen. We have the technology. It's got to be fixed. All right. Nobody would lose a job yet. You would still need the home plate umpire to place the plate and such. Just that he wouldn't be calling balls and strikes anymore. We need to fix this. We need to fix this now. Even in the Dodger game, they missed a pitch there. It was nowhere near 23. He missed one big pitch. That was a strike to Peterson. It wasn't low. It wasn't inside. It was in the box. Let's go here. It wasn't like it was on the corner here. It should have been called a strike. It wasn't called a strike. Peterson hits a big-time single here. Robot umpires can't come soon enough.
I completely agree with this take. I think we should have robot umpires for everything. I think we should have a chip in the ball for football. And you know what? I was going to do something else for the Sports Grid 60, but I'm actually just going to piggyback off of what George said, because the NFL has like a real officiating problem and they can do a couple things to solve it. So the first, they got to put a chip in the ball, put it on both ends of the ball so you can tell when the ball goes over. They have this in soccer. The referees immediately know when a ball crosses the line. They have a little wrist bracelet that goes off. So NFL, solve the officiating problem. You got to do it. Everyone, we're going to wrap up Fantasy Sports here today. Thank you to Brett, our producer. Thanks to my co-host, George. Thanks to Connell and everyone over at LTN. We're wrapping up. Everyone, stay on the grid for the rest of the day.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.